May be seated. Do songs inspire you? That one does. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You ever listen to some songs, though, and you hear those songs and you just don't get it? You know, I was thinking, I was walking by some kids out here, some youth. Sorry, guys. I was walking by, and the name Petra came out. And I went, Petra, Christian rock group. And they went, you know Petra and Stryker? And they're going, wow, how do you? I said, I know them. I know the songs that they sing. They go, Jesus. Every now and then you get it. You know, but some of those songs I just don't get. Okay, I don't get it. Well, you know, when I was a kid, now this is a much younger crowd. You may not get this, but when I was a kid, we would hear songs, wonderful meanings. Bop bopalula, a wop bamboo, tutti frutti, all Rudy, tutti frutti, all Rudy, a wop bopalupa, a wop bamboo. Now they don't make songs like that anymore. And I know a resounding, thank goodness. I mean, the one, the guy had a girlfriend named Ramalama, Ramalama, Ding Dong. You know, some songs I just don't get. I just don't get it. I was listening to the Gaithers the other day, and I love the Gaithers. And I was watching them on TV, and this group called the Isaacs began to sing. You know, there are some songs that when I start to hear it and I go, one of them, it was the Gaither Vocal Band, and I forgot the Signature Sound, I think. They were all eight of them. They were singing together. And the first line was, I then shall live. And I sort of went, and then they kept singing, and before the song was over with, I was weeping. Wonderful song. Great message. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. And when we think about that, you know, I get it. And then when I was talking on Anniversary Sunday, a guy in the quartet was saying they were going to sing that song. I was weeping before they started. It has some songs I get. In fact, that day I was listening to that Gaither video, or watching the video. Clarice and I were watching at the house. This group called the Isaacs, not my favorite group, but they're good. They're okay. They're kind of a sort of a, what do you call it? Blue group. Thank you. Interactive messages. They're a bluegrass group, and then they were going to sing, and I sort of don't listen sometimes. But when they started out, for some reason this struck me. It said, outside I hear them talking. Could it be it's me they're mocking? An eye for an eye is all that matters. Why they put me in this prison, and I deserve what I've been given. A life for a life. That's what I'm dying for. I caught the eye of the man who has been beaten. I saw the truth. Even I believed him. Now I can tell for myself who they want more. I hear them cry, release Barabbas. In disbelief, I turned to Jesus. He looked at me, and he said, go free. You're the one I'm dying for. That song, I get. I get it. I'm the one that he's dying for. You're the one that he died for. I get it. But the Martins, you know, y'all know the Martins, they've sang here several times, and they were on that particular video, and they sang their song. And their new song is called The Promise. And as I heard the song and listened to the song, it struck a chord with me, because the song was more about what God didn't promise than what he did promise. And I thought, you know, there are some things that God didn't promise. And for these next few moments, I'm going to share with you and this time together, my message is entitled, What He Didn't Promise. Now, I know that some of you have come and you think, man, I've come to hear a positive word and I've come to be encouraged today, and now this preacher's going to preach a message on what he didn't promise. What a downer. But listen, don't check out. The back doors have just been locked. You can't leave. No, I'm just kidding. Don't check out. It's kind of like, I love baseball, and when I'll go to a baseball game, and I'm so excited about the game, and I'm there for the home team, and I'm there, man, and I'm ready to go, and then in the first inning, they're down 6-0. I was just fixing to say, guess who? The Astros. And I thought, man, $50 for a ticket, $104 for a hot dog. You been there, huh? And I'm thinking, at first inning, they're down 6-0. And it don't get better. It don't get better. And so about the seventh inning, I'm thinking, seventh inning stretch. Everybody's stretching. I can ease out. So I wait for the song, and you get in the car, and you leave. And as you're getting out there, it's the bottom of the eighth, and you hear cheering from the crowd. You're going, oh, yeah, now. A whole lot late. And so we're in the car, hit the loop, on the far end of the loop, fixing to hit Interstate 10, heading home. What's the scores? And you turn it on. What a night! The Astros had a comeback in the bottom of the ninth, and they won 7-6, and you're going, I missed it. Well, this is one of those messages. In the bottom of the ninth, it gets better. It's kind of like when you ever been to an opera? No, me either. But the opera ain't over till when? The fat lady sings. Well, listen. Yogi Berra always says it ain't over till it's over. He made it. Okay. But anyway, it ain't over till the fat lady. Well, I didn't bring a fat lady with me today. But at the end, I did bring a blonde-headed lady. And it ain't over till the blonde-headed lady sings. What God didn't promise. First thing that I want to mention to you is God didn't promise that we would never have trials and tribulations. He never promised that. He says that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles. Just because you're a Christian, you're not going to have trials. Just because you're a Christian, you're not going to have tribulations. And listen, I don't know about you, but the other day when I came to work, I was heading to the church and it started raining. You reckon I got an umbrella? If I do, it's all the way in the back. I'd get wetter going to the back to get the umbrella to get it up before I, you know, no. So when I got out of the car, guess what? I got wet. Being a Christian doesn't mean that I get an umbrella that covers me when it rains. When it rains, I'm going to get wet. And listen, being a Christian doesn't mean that you have this umbrella that every time those troubles and trials from it seems like they're to be dropping out of the clouds that going to pound on you. We don't have this umbrella that's going to protect us from all of that. When it rains, we get wet. When there's troubles, we have them. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we're free from all of that. We still will have troubles. We'll still have struggles. We'll still have the temptations that come with life. We will have the trials that come with life. In fact, Christ himself says, but you are those who have continued with me in all my trials. If trials happen to him, don't you think we're going to have them as well? Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials in Acts. And James and Peter both said, get this, get that, that may be Jesus. My daughter just said, it's not me, I promise. Listen to what James and Peter said. Listen to this. Count it all joy when you have trials and tribulations. Rejoice when you have trials. Yeah. Not only do they promise that we're going to have troubles and trials, we're supposed to like it. What he said. Rejoice. That's one of those ugh moments in Scripture. Ugh. Really? He said we have those, and then when we have them come, then he said, rejoice. I guess you could say that God didn't promise a bed of roses. Or did he? You know, when life is great, man, we're sitting on top of that rose that's just so fresh, so soft. And then when life doesn't get so pretty, we sort of end on the stem. And what's on that stem? Thorns. Life sticks sometimes. So I guess he really did offer us a bed of roses. Sometimes it's petals, sometimes it's thorns. God never promised we wouldn't have trials and struggles. Another thing God didn't promise is he didn't promise that you'd be rich. He never promised that in his word. Nothing wrong with being rich. I'll never know, but there's nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with that. But he said he didn't promise that. You ever heard preachers on TV? If you send me money, it'll come back twofold. If you send me money, it'll come back countless fold. You ever heard that? If you send me money, you'll get money. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. When I was a kid, we didn't have, before TV, we had this radio. I loved that. My mom would set the radio in that window because we got better reception in the window. And you ever heard the phrase, watching the radio? Oh, yeah. We watched the radio. I can't tell you how many games I've seen on the radio. They come alive. Listen, it gives you great imagination. You got to know if he's right-handed, if he's left-handed. If it's a football game, they're moving either from the left to the right of your dial or they're moving from the right to the left of your dial. You got this imagination. But when we did get a TV, we put it on, even on Sunday mornings. And I remember one of those TV evangelists. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, "Brother and sisters, mail me X amount of dollars and I will send you this little white piece of garment, this little white piece of material that's been blessed. And when you get it, next Sunday, hold it to the tube and I'll pray over it." Y'all, this happened. And then he said, "Take that piece of white material, fold it up and put it in your wallet or your purse. And God will turn that white into green dollars." I promise you, it didn't work. No, I didn't send for that. My mama didn't send for that. Listen, taking a white piece of material, putting it in your wallet and have it turn green, sounds like magic to me, and I don't think God's in the magic business. But I'll tell you what he can do. He can take a black heart, cover it with red blood, and make it white as snow. And that's not magic. That's grace. That's what he can do. He didn't promise us that we'd be rich. But if you read chapter 6 of Matthew, what he does tell you is that it doesn't matter how beautifully adorned the flowers are, how beautifully adorned Solomon was, it can't compare to what the flowers are. He takes care of the flowers. Doesn't matter. The birds never toil up a garden, but they are fed every day. And then he says, if he cares for the flowers and the birds of the air, how much more does he care for you? He will meet your needs. Never promised you to be rich. He didn't promise that. God almost also said that he would never promise that you would have no fear. What are you afraid of? Now, I'm not talking about a spirit of fear. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Now, the spirit of fear, that's people who live in the spirit of fear, thinking that everything wrong that's going to happen is going to happen to me. That's the spirit of fear. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of everything that might come. In fact, Max Lucado said that people who live like this and have fear like this, they have fear because they're losing control. If they can't control everything in their life, it scares them to death. And so they begin to live in fear. I have to control, so I won't live in fear. But you know, there is one healthy fear our pastor speaks of often. He says, a healthy fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. But I'm talking about not this spirit of fear. The fear I'm talking about is when you, like the other day, I was coming home from Beaumont, and we crossed over the hill, the 69 overpass like that, and I'm coming over like that, and there was some blinking lights over there on the right. Let me ask you this question. When you see blinking lights, what do? Let off the accelerator, hit the brakes. Speed limit 70, you're going 60, you still do it. Am I right? Sure. Yeah, that sort of strikes fear when you see that. I tell you what strikes more fear. It's when you see those blinking lights in your rearview mirror. Yeah, that'd get your attention real quick. But the fear that I'm talking about is when the phone rings and the person on the other end said, there's been an accident. Or when your doctor walks in and looks at you and says, it's cancer. Or when the doctor walks out in the waiting room and says, he's had a heart attack. She's had a stroke. Or you hear around the office, there's going to be a layoff. Or the boss calls you into the office and says, you're fired. That'll strike fear. Those things strike fear. The Lord never promised that we'd never have things in life that would not cause fear. We will have fear. The Bible is full of stories of people who had fear. Abraham, can you imagine the fear he had when the Lord said, leave your home, the place that you knew, the place you were raised, leave your home. And then when he has his wife and they're trying to have a child and the fear of not having a child, the fear of Sarah when she's thinking, I'll have nothing left for the lineage. I have no child. And then when they finally do have a child, the fear that he had when he was going to have to offer him as a sacrifice. Fear. Or the fear of Joseph for being sold in slavery by his own family. Joseph, who was arrested and put in prison for something he never did. How about Elijah? Running out of fear from a woman. All the scorn of a woman can cast fear, I would imagine. How about Esther? You ladies are studying the study Esther right now. Can you imagine her fear going before the king, knowing that she might die for a time such as this? David, out of fear running from Saul. David, out of fear running from his own son. The disciples in the New Testament, the fear they had in a sea-ravaged boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. Friends, the Bible is full of people who had fear. God never promised that we'd not have fear. Listen, God never promised that your friends wouldn't turn their back on you. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about being alone, stand alone. It was one of the points of the lesson. When Christ died on the cross, he was alone. Stand alone. Think of this. He was just beginning his itinerant ministry. He called along 12 people to be on his staff. He traveled with them. He ate with them. He worked with them. And on a particular night, in humility, he even washed their old stinky feet. And that very night, when he needed friends the most, one of them betrayed him. One of them turned him in to the authorities, had him arrested, which led to his death. And then when he turned around, when it all started, there wasn't a single one of the 12. They were scattered and they were gone. When he needed friends the most, he was the most lonely. My friends, living the Christian life might not necessarily be the most popular thing to do. In our studies of Sunday school this past week, this past month, been in Mark, and one of the things that Jesus said himself, he says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Deny? Cross? That's not a great way to win friends. It's not a great way to be popular. Listen, sometimes the Christian life It just won't make you be the most popular person in class. He never promised you friends. And when you have friends, he never promised you that those friends would not turn their back on you. In fact, he said himself, "Hate, they will hate you for my name's sake." Just Jesus speaking. Jesus said again that you will be hated by all nations because of me. He never promised that following after Christ and following after him that you would have friends. One final promise. He never promised that you wouldn't die. He never said that death wouldn't be in your picture. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed for men once to die, but after that, the judgment." Adam had 930 birthdays. Noah had 950. Abraham, 175. Isaac, 180. Moses, 120. And the granddaddy of them all, Methuselah, had 969 birthdays. But you know the truth of all of those men? They died. Every one of them. Now, friends, I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I know that we're all battling that. I know that we have family members who may be battling that. We may be in it ourselves. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. But let me tell you this. It is a promise that we will die. He never promised that we would live forever. The kiss of death fell on man in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to sin rather than to live in the garden forever. And we've been dying ever since. I don't know why some live longer than others. I don't know why some babies die. I don't know why young moms, young dads die. I don't know. That's the sovereignty of God. And who's to know the mind of God? Good grief. I can't. That is for him to know. I like what George Bernard Shaw said. He said that the statistics on death are quite impressive. 1 out of 1 people die. And that's the truth. Y'all, listen, there's even do-overs. Lazarus died. Christ raised him from the dead. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that he lived forever. He died. Even if there's a do-over. 1 in 1 die. And when we don't understand the sovereignty of God, have you heard the saying that if you can't understand it or if you don't know it, fake it? You ever heard that? You know, when we were at a church in Bridge City, we were singing this thing in this thing called a living Christmas tree. And they built this humongous thing, well, we did, out on the parking lot of that church. And we were to climb up in that thing and sing. And we had tears. And we drew straws for who was going to be the one at the very point at the top. So it was just amazing. And John Bickham, our leader, said, "Y'all, that night we were singing this thing, it was 32 degrees. It was cold, upper shivering." You know, and I'm thinking, instead of singers, I felt like a nut up in that tree. And it was just freezing to death. But John said, "Listen, in the course of singing, you probably," and we couldn't use the books, you know, man. Then we didn't have electronics where you could see the words, you know. So we were just singing by memory. And he said, "If you forget where you are, if you forget the words, then just move your mouth. Say watermelon, 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 watermelon. And then just turn to the person next to you. And when they're singing the words, you'll get right back on track." And it worked. It worked. And we just practiced watermelon, watermelon. Okay, and then we start singing. That night, we're in this tree, freezing to death, shivering, singing these songs, and I forget my words. So I'm just a watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. And Daryl Segura's smart. He knows music. I'm going watermelon. So I'm going to turn to Daryl, watermelon. And I turn to Daryl to get the words. Daryl's looking at me going, "Watermelon, watermelon." So we sang watermelon. But listen, sometimes when you don't know it, fake it. But when it comes to matters of the Lord, if you can't understand it, faith it. Faith it. It's about faith. Faith in the Lord. And listen, if Hebrews 9:27 tells us that we're going to die and face the judgment, Shouldn't we be spending more time trying to understand this judgment thing? More time trying to understand what this judgment is all about? Friends, let me tell you something. Jesus, in all of his ministry throughout the New Testament, spoke about hell more than he did about heaven, because hell is real. Hell is a real place. Being saved and having salvation is for real. Not being saved and being lost and going to hell is real. It's real. It is real. Whether you believe it or not, friends, it's real. When we stand before Christ on the judgment day, when we stand before that, there's going to be two things that are going to be said. I know you, enter into your joy. I don't know you, enter into damnation. That's a choice that we all going to have to make here, so we can hear that there. I call it eternal elation in heaven, eternal damnation in hell. We all have a choice. What have you done about the judgment? What have you done about that? It is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. There are some things that God never promised. There are some things. But I told you at the beginning, it ain't over till the blonde-headed lady sings.
Or that you would never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. Mm-hmm. And I did say, don't make this world your home. Fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I'd be right there by your side. Thank you, sweet Jesus. And I did say I'll always help you fight. You know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise. Turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool. But I did say, like me, that you'll surely be despised. And I did say, my ways confound the wise. Say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'd be waiting right on the other side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I did say I'll dry every tear you cry. This is the
forever. You cling to the one who would never let you go. He's able to do above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think.
So just keep on walking. Don't turn to the left or right. And in the midst of darkness, let this be your light.
There are some things that God has not promised. But listen, there are some great things that He has promised. When times of trouble, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When it comes to riches, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you're afraid, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by that, we can cry, Abba, Father. When friends leave you, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Facing death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of righteousness. There are some great things that He has promised. So what is it? What do you do when you don't see the promises? What do you do when you can't understand where you are? Listen, do as Moses did with the people of Israel. They had just left Egypt, and as they were traveling to the promised land, the first thing they came to was the Red Sea. All they could see was sea in front. All they could see was soldiers in the rear. And they were just as nervous and just not knowing what to do. Do we go back to Egypt? What do we do? What do we do? Moses looked at the people and he said, fear not. Be still. See the salvation of the Lord. My friends, I don't know where you are. I don't know what promises you need to hear today. But listen to the words of the Lord. Fear not. Be still. See the salvation of the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can see, Lord, that You have promises that You have made. And Lord, we know that You are truth. And those promises You'll keep. Lord, we know that there are some promises that You didn't make, but Father, it's by Your grace and it's by Your mercy, Lord, that we do see the promises that You have made and that You will keep. Lord, we don't understand life. My goodness, we just don't. Lord, we don't know why things happen the way they happen. Lord, we don't understand why things go on in our lives the way that they do. But Lord, the only thing we can really, Lord, just have faith in is You. And so, Father, today, strengthen our faith. Lord, help our unbelief. Strengthen us, Lord, for every day, for everything, Lord, that comes our way. Lord, help us be prepared by knowing who You are in our lives. And Lord, thank You for covering us by the blood of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.